welcome to the 19th Manx 40 pod of the 23-24 season. Today I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Dave Norton. You're back.
Hello, how you doing?
How was your week-long sojourn around the northwest hotspots and not-so-hotspots?
Wasn't quite a full week, but yeah, it was good, mate. I saw Jeff Stelling and Phil.
Were they asking you for advice?
They were,
a football podcast?
Yes, exactly. Stelling's just launched his own one, so he was asking for a bit of feedback and advice.
Did you tell him the key to it is reading the weather?
Yes, and get Hattie on as a guest.
Jeff reads the weather!
Just doesn't have the same ring to it, I don't think.
No, it's got to be dead.
So
it's good. Where else did you go? Anywhere else?
I took in a Wigan versus Wickham game, which is good. Referee got injured. It wasn't the best of games, but the referee got injured in the second half. So there's 19 minutes of extra time or injury time.
Sounds like an average Peter Bain game.
It does. And then Wigan won it in the 110th minute. So
but he did actually record a.
He did do Dave Reads the Weather for the 1 week we didn't actually do the podcast. So we must apologise again. There was no pod last week because just when Dave's not here, we're
ruthless. Where's the TV gone?
Time's getting hard.
We're slowly losing our studio.
I swapped it for this box of biscuits.
Good trade.
Super out of chairs.
But yeah, obviously Wigan, former club of Adam Long.
And Dean Pennington.
Did you mention that?
I mentioned Adam Long a couple of times, yeah. There was one of the guys I was sat next to, he remembered him and he was asking how he was getting on at Doncaster and stuff, so yeah.
The whole crowd. Adam Long. Vaguely remember.
Why is he from the deep south?
It was just going that way.
Well, I'm also joined by Sam, who is coming from the deep south. How are you this week, alright?
Yeah, alright, yeah.
There's some exciting FC Alemannia news to come shortly.
There is.
Yes, well, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Don't want to spoil it.
No, we don't want to spoil about it, but we'll talk about it in a bit. Tom, you're back.
I'm here still.
Did you do the first one after Christmas? Yes, you did. You had to rush off for a bank appointment.
I did. Yeah, I had a bank appointment.
We should apologise for the audio quality. That was the rustling of you.
My coat. But this new microphone is just too good. Grandma's almost done too good of a job. She's picked a good one.
Those of you who haven't listened to the first pod of the 2024, we have a new mic. Which you might actually turn us down a bit on your Alexa or your smartphone or whatever, however you listen to it.
Or just shut us off completely. Yeah, that's also an option.
Because Tom's grandma bought us a new mic for Christmas, didn't she?
She did. She's that's what she does. Yeah. Makes me smile.
Has she listened yet?
I don't think she cares about Manx football. She cares about where I am.
Well, you know, the other day you said you'd come back and you said, I'll put Holmes on under the hammer on YouTube for her.
Yeah.
You do realise the podcast's on YouTube.
Yeah, but I feel like you can leave her with Holmes under the hammer. Happy days. She'll watch that. It's on daytime TV. I don't think like she'd be sit there and watch us talk about Manx football.
To be fair, you did also say she was watching Naked Attraction.
Just to clarify, my grandma doesn't avidly watch Naked Attraction. No, that's not one of her favourite shows.
What is?
The news is quite. Every time I go in there, it's such.
Which
news.
One? Curry
EastEnders as well. The soaps are always popular. That's what we speak about.
What news does she go for?
What news? BBC. Every time. Yeah, she's not a big fan of ITV. Sorry, Joshua Stokes.
It's fair. Right, you might have noticed that our wonder from Colby's not with us, Adam Morton. It's been a bad week for Adam, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's in mourning.
He's on compassionate leave at the moment as he continues to mourn the loss of Jurgen Klopp. He's not dead, is he? He's just leaving his job.
It's like he's died, though. It's emotional.
Yeah, all three of you are Liverpool fans. How are you taking it?
It's not been a good week. But you're the happiest I've seen you in a long time, aren't you?
But they are in the relegation zone, haven't they?
Yeah. We're probably going to go down. So swings and roundabouts, isn't it? But I have to say, that last week I thought I didn't rub it in too much, to be honest.
No, yeah, Dion did.
The Wrexham Stroke United fan.
Yeah, that was a bit too far. I felt bad for Adam on that one because he was.
He was.
He looked like the lost out of all of us compared.
He did. I think the problem is, see, Adam's like that a little bit younger, so he's never sort of had that experience of.
I'm younger than
him. No, but the pair of you, you don't really have the experience of like the Roy Hodgson months, end of Brendan Rodgers and how traumatic that was.
Well, I see what you're saying because I think Klopp's been like the guy that's been there for so long of us being fans. Like, it's like people are saying, oh, it's nothing like to what Sir Alex Ferguson did and everything like that. No one's comparing it to that. Especially. Sir Alex Ferguson didn't have to go up against a team that's got 115 allegations against them.
I think the difference is, I mean, like, obviously I'm a bit older than you two, but like... Only just. But this is the first time a manager's resigned in my lifetime I can remember the first time a manager's left like this. Like, I know Kenny Dalglish did it in 91 or whatever it was, but I don't really remember that.
Not old enough for Roy Evans.
That wasn't really so much because we had Gerard Houllier. So
it was, during the season different. As well, as weird as well. I did think, and you know what, I think he chose a good time to do it. Like, I know he came to the board in November, but just before like a Norwich game, I think it just makes sense. Like, I don't think it'll just, like, if we had like Chelsea, for example, you wouldn't want it to.
I think it's absolute masterstroke. He's given them all the incentive to just drive through the wall.
And then last night it was proving how good we played.
So
should we just talk about Liverpool?
No. Let's just saturate the market with another Liverpool podcast, shall we? Yeah.
About Everton, is there?
There's not many, no. There's only about two.
Got less listeners
on podcasts. Yeah.
Both. he's taken that hard. Hopefully he'll be back next week to regale you with stories of Colby and the South. We're going to talk about the FA Cup in a minute. There was something else I was going to talk about then. You know, Jurgen Klopp. Now, lads, where do you think he stands in Liverpool's greatest managers?
Second or third, I'd say. I don't know. I think
based on trophies, he's not, though, is he? Or
he's third on trophies, I think. I think at the moment, is it?
Yeah, I think you'd have to stick him in a third. I think, you know, the Shankly-Paisley continuation, as it was, really, sort of took a club that was doing nothing in Division 2 and made it European champions and... Yeah, you know, they were that between the two of them was like near 20 years. Klopp obviously had a lot shorter period. Slightly, I mean, you could argue it wasn't as dramatic, but we qualified for the Champions League once out of 6 years before Klopp came in. You know, it's now like this year's a really weird year for us.
Yeah,
and you know, if you look at it as well, any other year besides the City years, you would have won 3 titles.
Might yet if they get them deducted off them. So,
really good argument. So, I think we had a tweet about this the other day, and I meant to mention it in a previous podcast, so I'm bringing it up now. Klopp has obviously never been to the Isle of Man, as far as we're aware. Who is the greatest manager to ever come to the Isle of Man and coach, or even visit a match?
Well, famously, Big Sam did.
Why was he on the Isle of Man?
Bolton, when they were owned by...
Eddie Davies.
Strict. And he lived over here, obviously,
That's probably a pretty high favourite. Who was the manager when the Everton under-18s came? Was it
David Unsworth? The Rhino legend. Famously met him in the piano bar after.
Who coached the Liverpool and United legends skate teams?
I can't remember. Did they have official coaches?
I don't know, but I imagine they must have had somebody.
I think Dave Matheson, our super fan, who pointed this out. Joe Royal, obviously,
brought Oldham
over. Obviously, close to my heart because he won the last piece of silverware and got anywhere near. And I'm talking about the 1996 Charity Shield. But he's obviously been over. But is there anyone else? There must have been back in the day.
Yeah, there'll be names that we're forgetting here.
We obviously had other big names that have come over, like Bobby Charlton was over and stuff like that as well.
George Best.
Sam
shaking his head.
It's hilarious. People, like, we were talking about this week, obviously, because of what's going to come on Saturday. Yeah. And saying, George Best played on the hammer. And they're like, no, he didn't. He turned up at the ball in leather trousers, a sheepskin jacket, and kicked the ball and then walked off.
Yeah.
That's our claim to fame.
Yeah, so it's like, you know.
It's peak Best, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably went to the quarter bridge. I think it's a good question. So if anyone has any suggestions, please do get in touch. Dave might respond to you depending on how he feels.
Nah,
doesn't respond to us.
At Max40Pod on Facebook, on the Instagrams, and I think we were still on the X's as well, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Right, let's look ahead to this weekend's action. It's a bit of a cup special this week because you've brought your own to the recording.
Yeah, FA Cup special. This is exactly what, like, I just love the Manx FA Cup.
Yes. Like, now we're going to have a debate. Now it's the first round proper.
Yeah. Oh God. I just don't understand preliminary round. What's the point? Just start it first.
I like it. Meps is giving it. It makes Manx football a little bit different.
Do you know what I'd do if I didn't play or wasn't involved in Manx football on these days?
Yeah.
So I'd go to the Crosby around 1:30. And then whenever there's a tweet, I know there's a lot of reports out and about this week. Whenever there's a tweet, have you seen what they do in the UK? Like, fans, they go like, it's called the Saturday 3 o'clock soccer Saturday kickoff, like drinking game. So what you do is you sit in the Crosby at 1:30, you have a couple of pints, whatever. But as soon as that first goal scorer comes in, you go down to wherever it is. So if Colby score first, you go and sit in the
2 pints, you've not...
Oh, we get the bus. You can find a way.
The game would be finished.
But in the UK, they do it, and they get trains and stuff. Just the game's finished, we don't go watch it. We just go and drink all night in that pub. So, like, if Pulley score first, you go to Pinewood. If Colby, Colby. It's what the people in the UK do for the, like...
All What's the game finished. Called?
I think it's... I don't know the official game, but it's Soccer Saturday Drinking Game. That's what I call
it. So maybe... You'll miss at some point, then.
Yeah, maybe our end of season... Do.
Yeah.
I'll just.
We
I'll
won't
just
actually cover any games.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
There'll be a total media blackout out there,
but
quite
then, exactly, and then we won't know who scores first, which would be a problem. But we just go off what Hattie says.
Yeah. Right, so there's 8 ties in the ECAP FA Cup on Saturday, all kicking off at 1:30. Don't let that catch you out, as sometimes it does. Where are we going to start with this one? Let's start with the game I think Hattie's going to, isn't it? Dave, Michael United versus Ramsey.
Yeah, the Hat Man will be there. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a good. Gauge of Michael's progress, I think, with this. I mean, obviously, they've been in free-flowing form. Ramsey off the back of a bad defeat last week. They'll need to bounce back. They lost, was it 6-2 to St Mary's?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this an interesting game in prospect, I think.
Cup set?
Potentially. It's at Bolero Road. So, yeah.
Famously, the... well, didn't we say the closest pitch to the sea in the Alamo?
Just.
Depends on what you measure.
Well, this is the derby! It's the two teams that have the pitches closest to the sea.
Yes. They hate each other because of it, I assume. Yeah. We're close to the sea. No, we are. I reckon there'll be some debates in the pub afterwards.
What did we work out? It was less than a few metres, wasn't it?
Due to the bizarre dimensions of one of their pitches, it's closer from Kurt Michael if you go from like the corner flag.
Yeah, the centre circle's Ramsey. Yeah. That's that because of the way they're lined up.
Yeah.
I think they'll go back into the Kurt Michael clubhouse and they'll be debating this until all night, I reckon. Doesn't matter what the result really, as long as they win that argument.
I think Ramsey might be just too strong for this. I think Michael have stuttered a little bit for the last few weeks. I think they drew with D&D the other week. I know the weather wasn't brilliant and I think that's had a bit of a say on the early fixtures this season, but this year, but I think the Ramsey are the team for me in this one. Sam,
I think Michael.
I just cup set.
I just the romance of the cup.
Yeah.
Tom,
see, I'm looking at other fixtures to where I'm going to call a cup set, and there's not many, so I'm going to go with this one. I think
you're locking this in as Tom Curfey's cup set.
Well,
there's
definitely another one coming. But But so, Michael, yeah, I'll just go narrowly. I think they might just get someone. I don't know if like Ramsey might.
AET?
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah.
After extra time.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam will tell us more later, but are Ramsey missing any players for FC Alamant this week?
We should probably check.
Possibly,
yes.
Yeah.
In fact, yes, they are.
So, that's a factor. So, could be a shock.
I still think Ramsey would be just.
It'd be tight, though, do you think?
I'm going to put my flimsy punditry neck on the line, and I think the gap between Division 2 and the Premier League is getting bigger.
Ooh.
And I think Michael, comfortably one of the best teams in the second tier, but I still think Ramsey are having a good season, and I think that we'll see that.
I think there'll be some teams in the top half of Division 2 that will disagree with that statement.
I'm happy for them to disagree.
Yeah.
But I just think that...
So you think the lower down... Do you think the lower down of the Premier League...
But you know what? The result that showed me that, and it is Moran's comfortably dispatching Castan the other week.
Comfortably. 5-3, wasn't it?
5-2.
5-2. Oh, yeah. Maybe then. Because Castan are off the top, maybe. And Moran. Yeah.
Right, now elsewhere, Dave, there's the All Premier League tie at Bella Fletcher, where Corinthians welcome St John's. Corinthians, they're in sixth at the moment in the top flight. In fact, only a couple of places above St John's, having played a few games more. I still think they'll have enough about them in this one. St John's are still a bit lukewarm for me at the moment.
Yeah, I think they're still fighting their feet a little bit. Both sides go into this on the back of not the best results. I mean, Corinthians lost narrowly to Laxey, and St John's were held by the mighty Moran, of course, last week. So, I don't know, this is the game that you're going to, isn't it, Sam?
I was just saying, am I going to this game as well?
Yeah. As far as we know.
I think St John's were helped by Moran.
One way or the other.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I think it's Luke. You said Luke Wall, Luke Murray, back at his former club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That could be interesting.
It should be a fairly close game, but I'm with you. I think Corinthians will probably just have a bit too much.
I'll just go just narrowly Corinthians, but I think again, really tight. I think, do you think like clubs like Corinthians, we've mentioned Ramsey as well, do you reckon they'll be looking at the FA Cup thinking, this is a good chance to get some silverware this season? Do you think it's only the likes of Ayr and Peel that are going to go for them all?
I think the total luck of the draw. Ayr could get Peel in the next round and one of them's gone.
And all of a sudden you're thinking,
we've talked about it several times on this podcast, but you know, Mills getting to the FA Cup final a few years ago against St George's. I say a few years, probably best part of 10 years now, isn't it?
That's pretty, yeah.
And went going ahead against St George's, and it was amazing. Ramsey got to the final a couple of years ago, and I think there is room to get there.
Even if it was a Hospital Cup final last year, it was Laxey Russian, was it?
I think it was.
It could be anything on the day. We're in that time of year. Cup ties are being played in the winter. We've already sort of touched on it before. Conditions can have a massive impact at this time of year. I don't think any team can sort of afford to just be like
rule out. It's not like in the when you've got like, oh, you're playing in Europe in a few days. We don't have that excuse. No. Or like you've got a cup game in midweek or whatever. Yeah. Every game you're just treated basically the same, don't you? Apart from this extra time and possibly penalties. I hope we see some penalties this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Mirana playing, there's a good chance we will.
Sammy, Corinthians win?
I think they'll just have. I've seen St John's a couple of times this year, and they just don't seem to be able to get out of second gear. They can sort of, they get going a little bit and they come out flying a couple of games, but then they just sort of very quickly seem to run out of ideas for me. And I think they still do have sort of issues around, people who've been available. Obviously, Luke's come in, but when we watched him against Peel, he looked a bit isolated at times and was dropping deeper and deeper to come looking for the ball. I just think Corinthians going forward, I don't think Corinthians got a problem. I think their defence is sometimes a little bit of an issue. And also, as revealed last week, Cameron Lee was back in last week, played the second half.
Guest.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. And I was chatting to him last Saturday night, and he was working at St Norman's.
Oh, right.
Lovely man.
What was he? So he'd be a great. If you say they've had issues at the back,
he's a steady influence there.
Yeah, so he said he was away this week. I can't remember if he said he was going away this week or next week. So if he's in, I think it could help shore them up again.
Yeah.
But I just think, I still think there's a bit too much.
I've just, you mentioned St John's. I've just, a quite staggering stat, really. They've only scored, I know this ties away before you say it, they've only scored 4 goals at home all season, St John's.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
One of them was last week as well.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, look, we watched them against Peel on the Friday night, they had nothing going forward.
Well, Ray Lovell scored their goal last week, but he got sent off, so I don't know whether he'll be available.
And then it was Luke got the goal the week before.
Has been either injured or played for FC Ireland quite a bit. So I just think they've just struggled with that forward line.
Yeah. Well, it should be still an interesting game for you to watch. I do think Corinthians probably will just edge that one. Right, we're on Ayr.
Cup set.
Don't let me get Ayr out there. yeah. Now, Ayr currently second in the Premier League, having only lost once all season.
But they got games in hand.
One game in hand. Moran currently bottom of the Premier League, having won no games at Old Church Road.
I was going to say no games, full stop.
Actually, we could just book in that nicely. Actually, Ayr have won all their games away from home this season.
And we've not won a home game. So that's why it's a cup set.
The stats seem to firmly back the Tangerine in this one, Tom.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a very tough day from around. I think it'll be the classic sit back, defend, catch them on the
soak
break.
It up.
Yeah, soak all there. There'll be waves of orange coming towards you.
How's the squad looking?
Yeah, so obviously we've lost a few of the boys to uni, back to uni now. So like, I was noticing the training numbers were a bit lower, but still good fit, good numbers. Just nowhere near as what we had. We were having silly numbers, but especially when all the boys come back from uni, they stayed a bit longer than usual for January. But yeah, I think the squad will be strong as it can be. I don't think there's many players missing. And Ayr, they've just got so many good players. That's the problem, isn't it? And I think, you know what, the small pitch at Moran, I think, will suit Ayr.
Because it's
almost like sometimes we make our pitch smaller, thinking, oh, we've got Peel, they don't want to let them play this expensive, nice football. The Ayr can just, that long throw.
Yeah.
It's just going to cause problems for us.
You ever watch that throw in, by the way?
Sean Kelly.
Yeah. Gary, wait and point this out to me. Foul throws it a lot.
You tell me that for Saturday, I'll be on the sideline screaming at him. Who's the ref?
Carefully watch his hand position. one of them's quite often sort of more behind the ball than the side of it.
Trent does that. The Premier League thing, you get away with it. You are meant to do it.
Have you ever played a game in the Premier League where you watch it and you just count how many times Hal throws up? There's so many. And that's what encourages, like, we could get occasionally like kids coming down to a junior football and around and they can't throw it. And I think it's because they're watching these celebrities.
All of the ills are because of the English.
Exactly.
I would like to mention though, Moran player Joey Rothwell, it's great to see him back.
He's back,
playing. He'll be a big boost for the last sort of few games of the season.
He's a big listener as well. Always tells me how much he's loving it.
He says he
listens, and he always tells me he's watching it. But then he gives me a bit of stick for saying it was the Tom Reads the Combi or whatever it was last the other week. And I said, "Ooh, what a game!" And I've been getting that for so I'm sure I'll make it back to him on the curry night.
but great to have him back.
It's important. And I want him in the cup. We've got the Junior Cup coming up in the Combi, and I'm like, "Oh, get in the Combi, play a few more games." But around first team need him. Like, we're in a situation, obviously we're not doing great in the league. I still think we can get out of it, but in the cup games like air, you need to be strong. Like, we need to be, and Joey will put a challenge against anyone. He'll throw his body on the line for the club, so I think he's a big help returning, and that's why we're going to win 1-0. Joey Rothwell, 90th minute.
Wow.
Dave.
Sorry, Tom.
Narrowly.
Cheers, mate.
Look at what happened last week. Air went down to Union Mills, and it's 3-1 to Mills at one point.
Yeah,
and it ended 7-3, Tom.
Yeah.
So, Air are gonna
And they beat Royals 11-0, and Royals are in quite good form as well. So it's all the signs for them to lose. But Moran, comfortable.
I think. Yeah, it's going to be a good win for Air.
The National Stadium, I think, as the warm-up for FC Allemagne versus Scamsdale United. Since St Mary's take on Laxey, and what looks like, Dave, should be a great game this, great time.
Yeah, this is arguably the game of the day, I think. Two sides in good form. Obviously, Laxey, they had a slow start to the season, but they've certainly found their form recently. And St Mary's going into off the back of that really good 6-2 win over Ramsey. So both sides playing some good football too, so this should be an entertaining one to watch, I think.
Sam?
I'm going to go for Laxey in this. Dave Reynolds, commanding at the back. He'll be getting a header in there, 1-0.
Scored last week, team of the week this week.
Yeah, there you go. I reckon it'd be a quality game. I just think Laxey does seem to be just the attitude. If they turn up, they'll beat anyone in the league, and I think they'll turn up and probably just beat Mary's.
Have we got someone going to this game? This is the game of the day, isn't it?
I don't think we do.
I think everyone has picked, because we know it'll definitely be on, when one of the other games is postponed,
someone will end up with it. Yeah. Good plan.
Laxey, Tom, we talked about the other Tom Cowan and how they had a bit of a difficult mid-season. Where are we in the season?
I'd say it was kind of the start, because they obviously beat...
Because
they started all right, didn't they?
We're not at the beginning.
We're in the middle third.
Middle third of the season.
That's fair.
It's not even the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning.
They seem to have found a bit of form now, though, compared to what... It was going badly, really badly, wasn't it?
With podcast curse.
I was loving it.
But yeah, they are picking things up. St Mary's, there's only 5 points between them in the league, although St Mary's have 3 games in hand on Laxey. So they are pretty well matched. I think this one will go with extra time,
Both of these, by the way, I think if they get through this, then they get a decent run to the final. This could be both of these sides, you could see, end up being in the latter stages of the competition, couldn't you? So
Laxey are in danger of being a cup team.
Yeah, to be fair, they won the FA last year.
Liverpool under Benitez. Can't consistently do it in the league, but on any given week can turn up and beat somebody.
Yeah.
Any given Saturday. I think it all feeds in. I think if you get a good result in that match this week, that sets you up for the last third of the season.
It does.
And I think that then gives you confidence. You play the team that's in that top 5-6 bracket. You've beaten them. And then you can go forward with that. I think, we have all these preconceptions about cup football and all that, and something we joked the other week about cup keepers and stuff. That just doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't really.
It's just a game once a week on a Saturday. It actually doesn't really matter what the competition is.
No, does it? But then, do you think this 1:30 start? Not that it makes a difference to the actual outcome of the game, but it just kind of messes up your whole Saturday. I don't know what it is. I can't say I'm involved.
Really got me
through. It's just like random, isn't it? You know, when you're like preparing for a game, you're like, it's 2:30 or it's 2:00, you've got a bit of time. Being there at 12:30 to me is early. To get there to a game at 12:30. I know some clubs even do that earlier. I was shocked. I got to a game the other day, Combi football, and I don't know who. when we were in St John's, there was a few of them out, like, and I was early, and there was a few of them out, like,
warming up.
I know it wasn't St John's because I forgot about that game. John has put me up and left my car here. Yeah, but the game previously, this team was like even before an hour. So like, I find that mad. But 1:30 throws me off a bit.
It depends. Look at the time. Is it just less time for you to get over your hangover, or does it give you more time to drink later on in the day? So.
Angela, I can imagine that Crosby absolutely hates it. Storming in at 3:30, me and Tim are in the game. Well, hopefully, maybe a bit later, compared to extra time. But no, I just think it's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the only real slight difference in combi football. Gives more chance of a game being on if there's rain coming later.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Stuff like that, but...
So I think this will be close.
I'll just narrowly go St Mary's, just purely from their big win against Ramsey, which I think shocked me last week. 6-2 was it against Ramsey at the bowl, and because it's at the bowl again.
St Mary's home form is what you call patchy. They won 3, drawn 2, and lost 2 in the league. So they're not. It's not the
to
fortress.
Be fair, one of them defeats was to Geordies that week when like everyone.
Jacob Crook, Ben Wilkinson.
And in fairness, Al Harrison did say when he came in on here that they don't really like playing at the ball, which I found mad because you'd think a team like that.
I kind of agree. I never liked the ball.
Mm-hmm. You never liked
playing on it.
But I get. But for the St Mary, you'd think they've got the ball. They've got the facility.
Did you just have a bad experience playing walking football on there all those years ago, Sam?
No, it was actually normal football you just playing.
Yeah.
I just thought like, it was just such an energy suck.
Absolutely.
And it just sort of, it's just, never really liked it.
Fair enough.
I still stand by that it should be only for finals. Leave it empty on a Saturday and let it be this
They're
big.
Ruining the magic of the cup by having games in earlier rounds help.
Yeah, exactly. It's like randomly, like when Spurs were playing at Wembley, it was just all wrong.
Yeah.
It's just all wrong.
They should be made to play in the street.
Or fall to football.
Yeah. They should have sent Spurs like play at like Loftus Road or something.
Yeah, somewhere, exactly. Give them a random stadium.
Selhurst Park used to be always used as an overflow. Do you remember like everyone? Go put them Selhurst Park.
Palace had a season playing at like Highbury or something random like that.
Wimbledon and God rest its soul, and Crystal Palace used to ground share.
That might be what was.
And how did that get on? Do they not like?
They just have a game every. It's like. Inter and AC.
Yeah, but I never understand that. Like, how can you be rivals?
I know they're not
going at the same time, but it just feels wrong.
Mm. Random, like, plug for a good 40 documentary, though. There's a brilliant one on Prime where Eagles Dare.
Yeah.
Palace. It's about Palace, but it was filmed, like, 10 years ago, and they only just put it out.
Oh, that's pretty
so
cool.
So it's like, it's Steve Parish and it's looking back on what happened at that time, and then where they got to now. Mm. It's quite good because it's got all that Dougie Freeman stuff in it and when he left and everything.
Dougie Freeman, what a man.
Was Zaha there 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's all about him going and then coming back.
That sounds really good.
It's quite good.
Back to the Manx football and Saturday's ECAP FA Cup first round ties. St George's Old Boys.
How have you termed this one, Sam?
It's El Basico.
El Basico.
El Basico. literally a goal kick away from each other's ground, really, aren't they?
What a shot, it's Manx.
Do you reckon you could do it? Do you reckon you could kick the ball from Geordie's
pitch? You have to clear Summerhill Glen.
That's quite far, do you not think?
No, with the wind behind it.
No.
With the,
I reckon Johnny could.
Where's easiest? Yeah, yeah. Kicking from Old Boys or kicking from Geordie's?
Geordie's over the top.
Yeah. It'd be hard.
Actually, I reckon even if it was like Braddon's pitch, you could do it.
Yeah.
Because you've got to clear Summerhill Glen and there's a lot of trees.
Maybe we'll try it 1 week. I always wanted to get... engage with the road policing units. You know they have the speed
guns. Yeah, we
asked
them once.
And get and let's see find out who had the hardest shot in Manx football.
That would be quite. Bring everyone down.
Yeah.
Nominate one player.
Yeah.
I've been told before they used to do like a penalty shootout where one player from each club would do it at the bowl.
Absolute nonsense.
No, I know. I believe it because Colin Gilbert. And he said he was there in flip flops and around didn't have someone and he won. I'm telling you now. You can ask him. I'm telling you.
So El Basico. Are both Basses going to be in action this weekend?
Well, Nick played and scored for the Old Boys first team last week, so it was a good chance. And well, I think Bassey Junior's been playing a bit more for Geordies recently, hasn't he? So, hope so.
Obviously, Old Boys are in Division 2 these days, so this would suggest Geordies would take the win. Are we sticking with that theory?
I hope the Christ Old Boys score. Last week's Geordies bad, and last week was one of the worst things I've ever watched in Manx football. It was just dire. Braddon didn't know what to do in the final third. Geordies, to be fair, defended really well, and when they hit them on the break, they had a few chances they could have got in. But then they sort of got to the edge of the box and didn't seem to know what to do with themselves either. Mm. So it's just sort of one of them games where, I mean, to be fair, both keepers had made a good couple of saves. But you just sort of stood watching it. I stood watching it in Meps, and you just there like, there's just nothing about this game where, like, there's a couple of times when they went, oh, Meps, can you give a bit of an update from the game? No, nothing to tell you.
That's how you know it's a bad game with Meps.
You just need old boys to score just to sort of lighten us up a little bit.
Geordie's, though, and Dave will back me up on this, when they were at their peak, one of the characteristics or elements of that made that team so good was the fact they could grind results out.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, even when not playing well.
Yeah. So if they're finding a little bit of that again, that's dangerous for other clubs in that Premier League. And you'd think that would be enough for them to get something out of this cup tie.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I think that win last week is potentially priceless for them staying up. I mean, it was a proverbial six-pointer, and the confidence that will have given them, yeah. And finding their feet, as you say, I mean, they'll look at this as a very winnable game, and I think they will. Old boys are going well. Mm. They've found their feet. They've had a slow start.
They struggled at the start, didn't they? We spoke about that. We were like, what's going on with them? Because obviously, you don't expect a club the size of them with the players they had.
No, exactly. But as you say, they've found their feet. So they'll make a game of this. I think it will be close, but I still think Geordie's will win it.
I'm going extra time, Geordie's win, but the old boys will hang firm and make it a good game. A bit like what Dave said, just tight.
Do you think, no disrespect to any old boys players, got the fitness for extra time?
Robbie Ward can run around a bit, can't he?
Well, his knee.
Yeah, maybe not.
The bionic knee is, I mean, that's sort of shape that is.
I don't know, because do old boys still have the young keeper in net and a few of the youngsters playing? I've not watched
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, still playing, yeah, they've still got a few, and Ryan Healy's still there, I think.
Is it Nathan Quayle, the goalkeeper? Is that the one?
Have we got anyone going to this game?
Dean's
in that one, yeah. So that'd be good.
What's his name? Played up front for them last year for Old Boys. Nearly kept them up, basically, by scoring.
I do know, I've just got a mouthful of biscuit. Bear with me.
Drum roll.
Danny Gellin.
Yeah.
You say he's in goal?
No, so he's scoring.
Yeah. I was saying who's in goal.
Anyway, he's the young fella.
I can't remember. He was Jabber.
Jabber.
Yeah. When I played him, it was Jabber, and I can't think of his name.
Not Johnny Broad. The original Jabber. Shout out if he's listening.
Good keeper as well. Like, makes, like, you
know. Not Sam Holiday.
Well,
join us for more insight next week.
Have I got the right player? Have I got the wrong keeper?
Have I got the wrong club?
Sam. Yeah.
Sam, who do you think's going to win?
Probably Geordie's, but I hope Old Boys score, so Dean's got a good game to watch.
Okay. Right, Douglas Royal versus Colby. Sees another Division 2 clash versus the top flight. Royal, bubbling along nicely. Had that hammering the other week, though, we must say that. But they've Sam Baines and who else dropped
Callum
out?
Sherry.
Callum Sherry have played in recent weeks. Are they in the squad for Thursday? Saturday, sorry.
Callum Sherry is
the FCL man squad,
and Sam Baines is not,
so he might turn out this weekend against Colby. I think Royal will have more than enough for this one. I sort of point you back to my earlier comments about the gap.
If this was at the start of the season and Colby were flying, I'd be confident that Colby could try and get something, but they've dropped off, haven't they?
Paul Whitley, though, against one of his former clubs,
one of them.
I would put a pound on him scoring this
week. Yeah, I think so.
This could be a 6-3, 6-2, something like
that. Towards Old Boys.
Yeah,
makes sense. That's probably what I'd go to as well. The high scoring game, but Royals will comfortably win in the end.
Lads, any other?
Agreed. Yeah, well, once we've talked Adam down off the ledge, he's going to this game on Saturday.
Didn't he sign up to it thinking it was at Colby?
Well, see, fact, I literally went to him. Adam, mate, Colby game on Saturday, they play Royals Cup, you're going to go to it? Yeah. That's only when I sat down and went, oh, it's a Battle of Fletcher, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, there's no Colby game either. Yeah, okay, I'll go to it.
Yeah, reluctantly, he'll be at Battle of Fletcher.
Plus, we told him about how great Karen's pies are.
Yes.
Pasties pies, though, she's got going. So. Yeah,
now Morgan's pies are gone, you can get Karen's pies.
Yeah.
Both Karen's pies. Right. Peel versus Union Mills. Douglas Road looks like, you know, the top of the table Premier League side against the Mills side, who is second bottom. Mills haven't quite caught fire this season. I think they've already made a managerial change. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't know for certain, though. I don't know how good my sources are.
I've heard a lot of rumours about it.
Yeah, no. I've heard a lot of rumours about it.
No official statement from the club. No, yeah.
We've not heard much. Not that we've actually tried to contact them. Who is the
Paul Guyver?
Paul Guyver. Yeah, there's talk of him stepping back and going to...
Maybe go to St Mary's.
To St Mary's. There was talk of that, and apparently he's been doing some training sessions with them there, sharing the balls and funny stories. But yeah, we don't know for certain, and we don't know... Who was the link to being Newell's manager?
I don't know.
What was the name I said?
Jürgen Klopp, I believe. He's only available from the start of next season.
But yeah, there could be some change in the Mills. They've not really got going this season, have they? And they're obviously in the fight with Moran and...
But Mills put up a good fight against last week in the first half, didn't they? And the fact that Sam said they were 3-1 up at one point at half time, I think it was, shows. And they've got Luke Booth back scoring goals.
Again, I don't wish to diminish, but could that have been a wind assisted
half? Could it potentially? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it could have. But it did send shockwaves around Manx football, I think. Like, everyone was like, Ayr are losing 3-1 to Mills. I think at Moran, we were like, oh no.
Half time at Geordie's, everyone was quite excited.
Yeah. I was just shocked. And then when my mate told me, and then. Thankfully.
Yeah.
Peel win then?
Yeah, they're too strong, I think.
In the Matthew Woods derby. Right, Rush United versus Foxtel rounds out this weekend's FA Cup action. Now, we talk about gauges, bars, we talk about measuring yourself and ahead of potential promotion. This is what this is all about, I guess, for Foxtel.
Yeah.
The wheels haven't come off yet, Tom.
They haven't, and I've been calling.
We're in February now.
Yeah, it's. I think the lads at the Baltic are starting to get excited. I think they will be. And this is the type of game, as you say, it's a test. If you lose 2-3, 3-0, it's okay, because at least you know next season if you are playing them, because Foxtel have found themselves in a really good position.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think now we're getting to the stage where if Foxtel don't go up this season, it's catastrophic. It's never going to happen. And B, it's an absolute fall off. It's a shambles. Something must have gone wrong.
I think alongside Bayer Leverkusen, they're the only undefeated team in the top two leagues.
So Foxtel have got to do something really. Like, it's got to be an absolute load of injuries or the Baltic shuts or something like that to make it so.
Panic.
Yeah. So there's something has to go monumentally wrong for Foxtel not to go up this season, and this is a perfect example of a game where they can go, let's give a go, rushing away, one of the hardest games you'll play.
Yeah, but we've talked about this, I think in the podcast we did the week before last, Russian's home form is not what it was. The fortress of Croke Lowry seems to be in the rear view mirror, as it were, because they've lost they've lost four at home already this season, only won two. Or another, actually conceded more goals than they scored at Croke Lowry. So that suggests to me, against the Foxtel team that have conceded only 16 goals with Baller in fine form, they could get something out of this.
They absolutely could. Well, Russian drew at home to Royal last week, so they're not going into it in the best of form. As you say, well, Foxtel are one of only two unbeaten teams in the four divisions this season.
In
so, yeah,
best league. It's a good thing you've got them stats, because you just, as you say, Croke Lowry, you just be like, oh, Russian are playing at home.
Yeah.
I find it mad that they're not playing well there, because just in the past they have.
Pressure of the Wailing Wall.
Yeah. But no, I think I'm not saying that Foxtel can't do it, I just don't think they will. I just think it'll be.
I'm going for it. I'm going to go with Foxtel.
He's clearly shown his bias. Yeah. Used to live in the village.
I'm going all the way with this on extra time penalties, but I don't know which way it's going to go. Maybe Russian will win it on penalties.
Sam,
heartbreak for Foxtel.
Yeah. I'm still with Foxtel. They won quite well last week, didn't they? I think we had a chat trick. They tweeted that themselves.
Someone needs to take that Twitter off Bart and Boom on immediately.
We had a chat trick.
It's awful.
Yeah, I think, you know.
That's why those social media guidelines were circulated.
They're like, just be careful.
No, I think it'd be a really good test for Foxtel to see where they're at. I think it'd be close. I could see this going extra time. And possibly even penalties, you know. But I think Foxtel just get over the line, I think.
How many have Foxtel played? Because we're at the stage of the season where normally Foxtel you'd be like, they're behind.
They're doing alright.
Compared to how many others?
Well, look at Jim's.
Jim's have only played 8.
Yeah. So they're not...
They're about average. There's a few clubs with more, there's a few clubs with less.
Right now, this stage of the season, do you not think we'd be sat
there
going...
They played 5 games at home.
That's pretty good going for Foxtel. That's like applaudable.
I still think this could be the Achilles heel if they get a bit of a backlog towards the end of the season.
And then that means there's no get. Some people, teams don't have games, everyone watching you. I remember watching, was it last season or the season before? They were down at St John's, and if they won, they'd have gone up.
Yeah.
And they just. Did they
play at Peel or the Quality
Club? Yeah, they did. I like that they're forcing, that they're getting these games on. They're proactive. Pulling. Yeah. It is. And we were discussing, weren't we, about whether or not the relationships got that or they have to pay Peel or what. But. Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing that the games are getting put on.
Final thing before on to the afternoon's Seoul Woods Cup tie. Like, Marat, you've been to two training sessions this week, which is a rarity for you in itself, Tom, but was Brewy getting lads to practice penalties?
No, we weren't practicing penalties. We did attacking phases of play. But I know for the FA Cup, yeah, but I think Brewy's maybe not as confident as the rest of the players are.
I remember we asked David Rees this once when he was in as Onken manager, I think he was head of the Woods Cup or something like that, and he said they couldn't afford to practice penalties because they only had a finite number of balls.
That's probably similar for Dave Brewy. He's like, to be fair, we did do a shooting drill and Dave stood behind the fence. In fairness, I think only two or three went over, which is pretty good going for us. The fence is quite high in the last show, to be fair.
A weird thing you ever notice, like, you see, like, the warm up or anything on like TNT, Sky, and other side, and they use the goal at the side.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet this week saying the average shot to goal ratio of that goal has to be like 8%.
Yeah.
And then I was watching it at SMM warm up the other night against Stirling, and it's the exact same thing. Yeah. Whenever the away SMM don't really do it, the away side always seems to do it. Take pot shots to the goal. The amount who are just clearing the fence, clearing the trees.
It's like you're not getting into game mode though, are you? Like, you're having to score. But maybe
this is what I'm thinking, right? Like, will if this had been thought out before the actual moment when the penalties arrive, really thinking, well, your takers have been selected.
I don't think it'll be. I don't necessarily think.
Talk, it'll be ring Bruno. Ask him if he's got a five in mind.
I don't think there's necessarily you have to practice it in training. But I do think managers will have a little notepad and pen. I do think there'll be a little list there. Not in our game.
Could that be a job for Gilly as assistant?
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So maybe all the other clubs, like maybe John Palmer's got his right hand man that will be sat there going,
I'd be interested to hear how different clubs approach that. Wouldn't you? Because I wonder if it's just like, he's played well this, like, he can take the first. Because I think also the player has to have a lot of input. Because you don't fancy it, you don't want to be going up first. Do you?
No, you don't. I think that's what it all comes down to. The person putting their hand up and saying, I want it. I remember Neil Withers did that in the Junior Cup semi-final that I've not got over. Put it wide. And we didn't
get it. It was a bold choice for...
Yeah. I think, to be fair, he was telling me that he's like, his success ratio over the years is just like, he's scored loads of penalties.
He's taking about three.
Maybe that's 100%.
Tom, I think you need to stop trotting out stats that you're told while in the pub.
I was actually told that in the Tommy Lucas, but we're still pit.
Right, looking ahead to the GH Cull at Woods Cup, there's one rearranged tie. Onken welcome Paul Rose United to the Nivison in a game that was postponed the other week because of the weather. Dave, for me, this looks a home banker. I'm sorry, Pulley fans, but Onken playing well at the moment. Pulley bottom of Division 2. Only the one win to their name. Haven't won away from home, only scored 7 goals. Actually, sorry, they have won away from home, but have only scored 7 goals on their travels this season.
Yeah, Onken, as you say, good form. They're doing all right in the league at the moment. They beat Colby 3-1 last week, and I think Pulley obviously lost heavily to Foxdale with the chat-trick. It's got to be an Onken win, I think.
Sam? For the home village, going to fly the flag onto the...
I'll be honest, I can't see how Pulley can... get a result out of this. So yeah, I'm going to say probably controversially an Onken win.
Onken win,
right? DPS Division 2, there's two games just to give you a full complete look at the major games this Saturday. Douglas District take on Castletown at the place between Groves Road and Springfield Road that we don't need the sort of twilight zone in between the two. Castletown obviously are third at the moment with a couple of games in hand on second place Michael. A win would take them actually back up to joint level with Foxdale at the top of standings, as we already mentioned. Foxdale in cup action this week, so Town could end the evening top of the second tier with a win in this one.
And they could, remember they ran into the Baltic when we were there, Dave?
They were pretty leery that night.
They were top of the league at that point.
Yeah, they are unbeaten away from home. This to me, again, if you look at the stats, look at Runa, which is, you know, where I like to pore over them, this looks like a Mets win for me, Dave.
Yeah, I agreed. Castletown is going to have a bit too much firepower. But speaking of firepower, D&D were involved in a bit of a thriller last week. A typical Max score, 5-all, with Governors Athletic.
Gov's like 5-1 up after 60 minutes.
It was something ridiculous, yeah.
No, they came back twice. D&D led in that game a few times.
So D&D obviously know where the back of the net is, but again, the Castletown would be too strong, I think. Sorry, Dave.
Tom?
D&D might make it a bit more...
D&D have won one game at home this season.
Okay. Castletown come from a win.
Yeah. Sam?
Sorry, Matheson.
However, I would say, chatting to Karen in accounts.
Yep.
Not to be confused with Colin accounts, the BBC IT iPlayer show. So, who said about Dave? He said he was very good at hosting the Ravens race night.
Yes, well done, Dave. And we've hopefully his next race night we're going to do a special podcast. Ooh. For him. Yes. So more on that.
Where
in
is
next
that?
Few months. Where is that? The Douglas Shop Club.
Oh, Douglas. Oh, yeah. Sound. Yeah.
Are you?
We were
there,
worried Tom? That you were barred. Remember?
Yes, I do remember.
The other game in DPS Division 2 on Saturday, and these two are of course half two kickoffs, not like the cup fixtures, would kick off at 1:30. See Malou take on Jims at Clackvane. Malou comfortably nestled into the bosom of the table in Division 2. Tom, now they should be favourites for this against a Jims side, as we've already said, who are shockingly short of game time.
Yeah. I just don't know.
You just don't know?
I just don't know. Where are Malou in the league, sorry?
7th, Jims are 10th. There is actually only 4 points between them.
Ooh.
And Jims have got four games in hand. So, if you, Jims perhaps...
You know you what, might, maybe Jim, yeah. This could be the start of like yeah. a clawing back up the table for Jims.
A team that we've already mentioned made a managerial change over the winter break. Of course, talk about Christmas in that respect. they won two games away from Tramode, haven't actually won at home, so they do play better on the road. I think they'll get a draw out of this. I'm going on the Dodonald Memorial fence.
It's the first time you've said it today, mate. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Well, a cup game.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Startling punditry, if I was always there.
We did have two other league, another league game. Though,
one league game.
Yeah. But I think Malou... Yeah.
You think Malou?
I think Malou... Obviously, they lost 9-1 to Michael last week, so they're going to be struggling. So I'm going to go with the Jims narrowing.
I've literally no idea how this game could go. 5-5, why not?
5-5,
why not? Same, I don't know.
Right, where are we going to go to next? Let's talk about a big weekend for FC Alman, Sam.
Yep, go ahead. So it's a big weekend for FC Alman. Former Wigan star, Dean Pinnington, is in the squad again. You want to talk about Pascal Chimbonda?
I want to talk about Pascal Chimbonda. Yeah. This is brilliant. It is.
So,
44-year-old Pascal Chimbonda.
He made his debut in the week for Skelmersdale United. He's been their manager since he came in just partway into the season.
October, I think it was.
Yeah, and he played for the first time the other night away at Charnock Richard in a 2-2 draw, a game which was actually covered in rather poor form by the Mirror. Who managed to say he was introduced as a substitute in the second half, despite the fact he started and played the full 90 minutes. They also said it was a disappointing result for Skem, who are bottom of the league and won four games all season.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a terrible result
for
them.
No, too old. I think it was only a last-minute penalty that got the point for Shawnick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, you know, I think Skem had a decent performance. So he is, of course, coming to the bowl this weekend. I mean,
is that the first World Cup? Is that what we were saying?
I thought he'd won the World Cup.
Yeah,
but he hadn't. He was in the squad for the 2006 World Cup, and I think did they lose in the final?
Lost in the final. That was the Zidane headbutt.
Right.
So that's how I knew, is it?
He didn't play a minute through the tournament.
No, he played in the pre-season game again. He played in the pre-tournament game against Denmark, I think it was.
Yes.
And
if they had have won it, would he have been given a? Would he be a World Cup?
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it might be a competition.
If you're in the squad, you get.
Yeah.
And why didn't they play him at all? Was he the only player in that squad?
Who was playing right back for France at the time?
Will it be Sagnol or Lilian Thuram? Maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe the end of his. He might have gone by then. To be honest,
yeah.
I can't remember when he retired. But yeah. He just didn't play.
So it's the first World Cup star.
Yeah, no, but let's put it this way. He's played 150 games in the Premier League.
Yeah.
148 to be exact, but nearly 150 games. But he was playing Tottenham, he's played for Blackburn, Sunderland, Wigan as a
PFA Team of the Year.
Yeah, he was. So this guy is...
real deal.
He is the real deal. Again, this got us onto the debate. If he plays on Saturday, we obviously haven't seen the Skem squad, or if he's indeed starting again, will he be the best player to ever play on the ball? Now, Bobby Charlton played again against St George's, didn't he, at the ball?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, did he play for St George's, didn't he?
I think he kicked off.
The George's came play.
So, obviously, he's an outstanding candidate.
When Bolton came over, did Ivan Campo play?
Yes, he did play in the bowl.
He played on the track.
So it was the old...
So that doesn't count?
No.
Oh, tosh.
JJ Okocha, I think, might have been in that squad as well.
Mason Holgate. Mason Holgate
has played on the ball.
Yes, he has, definitely.
Yep.
Wouldn't put them in the category that we're talking about.
But yeah, this is a great debate. So if please do get in touch if you've got any suggestions. You think the greatest players? We need some background, right? Just don't come up with a name and say, "Oh, do you remember that time Zinedine Zidane turned up in the bowl and played in the under 12s league?"
I'm just trying to see.
That's pretty cool. That,
Lee Sharp played in the Liverpool versus United Legends match. Game. As did Phil Neal.
Lee Trundle.
Legend.
Famously a legend of Welsh football, played for Wrexham back in the day.
Did, I'm just trying to, Bruce Grobbelaar play on that? He's a legend.
He's played the ball, hasn't he, Bruce Grobbelaar?
Yeah.
He's
come back over to the Anglia.
Because Liverpool, well, Liverpool and Man United played Legends.
They played two, I think.
Yeah.
Why
are they doing them at the ball?
Why not?
Because it's a charity thing and you sell tickets to a game at the ball.
But was it when the ball was like it is now? Was it
no, it was the old ball.
And was that small?
It was the old ball. When it had, no, because it wasn't seated. It was all
so you could have more people watching?
Yeah, and it was had that weird thing where it had like a little like a trench around the outside of the pitch to try and collect the rainwater. It worked.
Yeah, it was a dodgy pitch. Anyway, I think we'll come back to this and we'll come forward with some more suggestions for the greatest ever player to play in Manx at the ball.
Yeah,
that's no disrespect to some of the greats in Manx football, you know, Rob Tier, Gareth Jones, you know, the likes of that lot, but we're saying, you know, potentially world superstar level.
Yeah, well known as well.
I mean, are we not, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not disrespecting 150 appearances in Premier League, but we are sort of saying we're putting him in a world class level.
He went to a World Cup.
He was a decent. Theo Walcott went to a World Cup at 16.
Yeah,
you know
what makes
Theo Walcott ever play the ball?
It all comes back to
I don't.
It all comes back to the age old question: what defines world class? Like,
so, I remember going to watch the F. This is another thing we might have to have a deep trawl. I watched the Alaman under 18s play Suffolk in the FA County Youth Cup, and the goalkeeper was a certain Nick Pope.
And we beat them
that day thanks to a Jack McVeigh penalty.
So Jack McVeigh scored past Nick Pope.
Yeah. Nick Pope still talks about that.
Yeah. He liked the tweet when I mentioned it once.
Did he? Nick Pope did?
Yeah.
Why didn't he message him, get him on?
Well, let's do it.
He's injured at the moment, yeah.
But that was in Suffolk, so that one doesn't count for you.
Yeah, it's not the bowl, is it? You've got to do it at the bowl.
I'll take Castletown Stadium or Peel. I think on the island.
Okay, once we've took the bowl off, let's go around every single.
I mean, I think if you're going for the new bowl, then he's definitely the biggest player to have played at the new bowl.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But looking ahead to Saturday's game, you've already mentioned Skems are bottom of the league. They've had points deducted. He's recently served a 3-match ban for getting sent off for his involvement in a brawl in his first
game.
They
got tanked by Bury 10-1.
Yeah, they got tanked by Terry the other day.
But weirdly, they have stabilised the ship a little bit.
Back to back games the other week against Squires Gate and someone else that I've forgotten.
Give me 1 second. I know I'm making fantastic audio here, but give me a second.
But they're going to come, and it's not going to be as simple as the team that are 8 points adrift at the bottom of the league, is it?
No, I mean, they beat the Squires getting Ramsbottom. Ramsbottom beat us this year. Skem beat the Ravens this year.
2-0.
2-0 away at Skem,
That was their first league win of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually, so their form at the minute is 22nd in the league. They've won
out of 24.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I don't know what ours is. It wasn't the greatest.
Yeah.
It was.
I think ours was about
20th, innit? 11th, it shot right up. Right. Fair enough. I mean, it'd be an interesting game. Not just beyond the whole, you know, the circus is going to inevitably be around Pascal Chimamanda.
FC Alamein squad. How's it looking?
Do you want to do it? So I will do it on a Saturday, or should we just run through it quickly?
Where we should point out. Sam is now the voice of the Ravens.
If
you're anywhere in the Douglas South area, you can hear him if the wind's following quite clearly on a Saturday.
Make sure to avoid it.
5 to 6, where he bellows out the team. I'm loving it because you sort of like, what was your man from the WWE used to do that? Was it Vince McMahon that used to do this?
I wouldn't be talking about him today.
What's happening?
You missed all this.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about him, and so they did the deal of UFC, it all been taken over. Since then, it's come out that he's been accused of like trafficking people.
That's a
joke. I think you're like Howard Finkel.
Yes, maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen!
So that's pretty much what you do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you get a buzz out of it? Like, do you get like a.
It's weirdly entertaining, you know.
Is it?
Like, you know.
I'm just thinking of starting the playing fields, that's all.
You just sort of make it your own thing, you know?
Yeah, to be fair. And you did explain to me, but what's the reason why Palmer's not doing anymore?
There's just reasons. Anyway.
Story, Tom.
So, look at.
I think Tom had generally forgotten the
reason. I had forgotten it, but now I'm
Right, so yeah, the squad.
Yeah, going into this weekend, Al Maitland is back, which would be good to see for the Ravens fans.
The Last Samurai.
Yeah. As is Housewives' favourite, Fiora Davies.
Yeah.
Which will no doubt also cheer up Raymond the Raven.
Yes.
And, if that wasn't enough, Steve Whitley is also back in the squad this week. Oh, he's been missing for quite a while.
He's getting the band back together.
So he's not involved at Pulley. Unconvy Pulley, is
no, he's not going to play for Unconvy Pulley. Yeah. Also in the squad, you've got Jacob Crook, Tom Creer, Sean Doyle, Danny Gerrard, Charlie Higgins, Frank Jones, Phil Kelly, Jack McVeigh, Dean Pennington, Callum Sherry, Carl Watson, Michael Williams, sorry, Ben Wilkinson and Steve Whitley. Just hearing out the corner of my eye.
You'll know better than me. Is that a good squad?
It's a decent squad, yeah. I think that's probably near enough. I mean, Tiernan Garvey's not in it this week. Ronan McDonald's dropped down to play. I say dropped down, he's not in the squad, he's playing local footy. He's been sat on the bench quite a bit recently, so I think it's good for him to get in. Obviously, Owen Sherrod went off injured last week, so he'll be missing. I think there's other than a couple of things there, I think it's near enough the full strength squad.
It's the big story, Fuhrer's back.
Well, I think it's always the big story when Fuhrer's back, because he just creates chaos.
Fan favourite?
Like, you see teams when Fuhrer comes on, you think, oh, that's going to go long. And he's such a better player than I think teams perhaps give him credit for.
Yeah,
and then 2 minutes into watching him play, you're like, oh, crap, like, he's got a ridiculous touch, quite skillful, and is really powerful, and is actually still pretty quick, and can unleash a shot from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's this constant.
You're not just scared of him going long, you're scared of all these
actions. Oh, yeah. Fiora can come on and do a lot of damage to teams very quickly. But equally, again, you know, Sean Doyle's starting to find a bit of form. Dean Pennington has looked a lot. Also, his end game just seems to have come alive a little bit in recent weeks. I think that's last week the team seemed to be pushing higher up, really, going for the higher press. Perhaps Jones is after the Liverpool job, don't I?
Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
I think it should be an interesting game.
Have Stranger Things happened?
Have you ever watched that documentary on Apple TV, Ted Lasso? That's pretty strange.
Yeah, to be fair, that's pretty incredible.
Who was the American fella who bought a footy team and then put himself in charge of it?
Oh, yeah, it was Carlisle United, and he bought it from the guy that said he was going to buy... Wasn't he one of the guys, the Knifetons, that was going to buy... Manchester United back in the day.
I'm not sure, but
something like that.
Let's face it. If we all won the lottery, you know, we'd do something.
Probably not. Really. I've got Football Manager. I don't need to buy one.
What's the if you want like 120 million on your minutes? What's like the lowest? No, it's the highest ranked team you could buy, and be like, okay, we can make something.
I think you could probably get a Championship club for that.
Yeah, I think so.
Huddersfield, something like that.
But then how annoyed would the fans be when you turn up and you've only got 120 million, you've bought the club and you're skint.
And then they start spewing money. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you can't go to the games because you're getting abused. And stuff.
I think we know what he'd do. He'd buy them around.
I don't just make it like... But how do you buy a Manx football club? Who owns it?
This club has a trust, but it depends if it's a trust or a charity or what.
But I just find it mad, like, you know, the managers get sacked over here. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, that's the players.
I don't think it's not the thing. It's not sacking. Sack.
Yeah,
it's more go.
Out you go. I guess so. I'm just thinking, like, if I won the lottery and I couldn't buy them around physically.
The parish?
No, not the parish. Oh, that would be quality, wouldn't it? But no,
lovely, he's got a rival.
But no, buy like the
just buy all the houses,
buy the club. But then, like, you couldn't buy the club, but could you just start doing things?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be good. Yeah. That's what I'd do in my 120 million.
Essentially, it's like FIFA Soccer Manager back in the day.
That would be cool. Imagine, like, how intimidating it'd be if, like, every other grand was just, like, all right, then the playing field had, like, it was bigger than the bowl.
But then, like, can you imagine a Combi 2 fixture?
No, but we'd pay people as well with the money. I'd pay people to come and watch and support Moran.
That's tragic, man.
It is quite sad. They should come down anyway.
Yeah.
He's creating a monster here.
6 o'clock, the offside, right?
Yep, usual. So I'll give you a shout about 10:25.
Yeah, I'll cut out on the drive and listen as usual. Right, finally, any other business? Now, I don't know if you lads saw this, so you might have seen it, because you keep an eye on what's going on in the adjacent aisles. Jersey and Guernsey had a meeting this week to discuss football at the local level. Now, we know that they have a very similar model to here. They have a team that are playing off island in the Jersey Bulls and Guernsey FC, and then they have the league structure within it. And it was more focused on the league structure. And they were talking about a Channel Island Champions League.
Wow. Wow.
I can't believe you just sprung this on me. How have you not told us earlier?
Because I wanted to get your reactions.
Oh, wow.
So, apparently the aim would be the top two from each of the respective top flights would then play off, and we'd have a Champions League winner at the end.
So, for example, if Aaron Peel were top of the match,
yeah, they'd go through from the Isle of Man, and then. But obviously, Isle of Man aren't in this conversation at the moment.
Yeah, but where would this be played as well?
I presume it's two legged, you know,
That sounds quality, doesn't it?
And a final, and then we'd co host the final over.
Imagine that, like pushing yourself. I think it'd be quality. Obviously for the top teams, but they already get the trophies and stuff like that. What I'd like to say, you know, when teams have got during the season in the league, there'll be certain clubs this season that have kind of got nothing to play for anymore.
Yeah.
I'd love to see something like push for something like maybe a top four go away or a top five or something like that.
It was all open to debate. It was an open debate. But I thought that was there was another idea which they had, which I've forgotten now. But that was the one that grabbed my attention, surely we can muscle in on that.
Imagine a Division 2 as well. Like, imagine there was a Division 2 with all of the second division leagues.
You seem to be planning.
Yeah.
You're planning for Division 2, aren't you?
No. I'm not going down, so I'm back off.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch.
Where they would fit it in their season, obviously, I don't know if you'd do it at the start of the following season, whether it'd be, you know, at the end of the current season. I think there is a lot of mechanics to it around, but I thought it was just an interesting
move. I like the sound of that, and that's what it's all about, the local game. I think that would be quality.
Sam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think it's almost like, do you remember the Interleague? Kind of similar sort of structures to that, I guess, but actually
with clubs. Yeah. And, the only thing I Dave remember this when, well, I don't know if he remembers it, but the league winner over here used to go into the FA and Vars.
Yeah,
but that was obviously, I think the Vars was a bit of a different beast back in the day, and there was obviously the cost associated with that and stuff like that.
What is the Vars still going now?
Yeah, but FC
Element. Yeah, something that they don't know.
So the club then becomes the Element.
No. Cause I just think it's changed. The FA Vars is probably a higher stature than it was.
Yeah, it's become a lot more Europa League, Champions League than amateur sort of thing. Really.
Okay, it's a shame though, because as you say, something like that would be something exactly like as you've just said. I think would be quality for local teams to get away playing that. I think these clubs are massive football clubs, as I've always said. I think. I mean, history.
It's a thing for another day, but I think that the structure of the FA here, I know you've been reading Rick Holden's book up.
We'll talk more about in the future.
But so, you know, the structure of the FA and its relationship with the English FA, both here and in the Channel, is something that should be looked at anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, are we actually getting the best of what we could be getting?
I think we're so unique in respect. You know, we probably have similarities with Jersey and Guernsey, but what I've seen are. Our leagues are a lot bigger. We've got 26.
I mean, the fact that we're sat here even talking about this on a podcast is mad, I find.
Yeah.
It's not going to get involved with videos. It'll attract outsiders.
But I just find it, like, it is incredible that we've got, like, every Saturday, you've got grounds around the island, so many clubs, and they've all got this, like, the fans that have been there for years, they've got, like, people behind the scenes you don't see. It's just incredible, and something like that, maybe give them the recognition they deserve if they got. Imagine winning the Channel Islands Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, that is genuinely, like, that's. I don't care about the Champions League properly. I care about that now. I mean, like,
we could be like the Saudi Arabia of it. Just like playing amongst themselves, and which they go, come see our riches.
Imagine telling your granddad that. Yeah, I just won the Champions League back in my day.
Well, obviously, travel between the two was a lot more straightforward than it loop us in. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting idea, and it was something that we could give it a couple of things thinking about. Any other business, guys?
It's the Women's League. It's Advantage Peel. So despite losing last week to Corinthians 3-2, the way it works in the Women's League is it's on head-to-heads. Because Peel won the reverse fixture and that, overall, they've ended one goal ahead. And there's still four games left to play, so it could all change, but certainly Advantage Peel. Hattie's done a report in this week's Indy, available now.
And we should also flag up, it's the Floodlit Cup Final a week on Saturday. Which, again, Hattie's going to, but that's sort of the first major silverware of the women's season to be played for.
Yeah, and on a Saturday, as you say, which is a rarity, I think.
Normally they're Sundays, aren't they?
Yeah, Saturday evening, so hopefully change of day may get a few people down. Yeah. I think it might be the fact that the teams were always complaining that they had to go into work on a Monday after they were celebrating.
To be fair, can you imagine?
That's why the Hospital Cup got moved.
Yeah.
Is that the reason?
One of the reasons, I believe, yeah.
It's not very hospital-like, is it? Go out and get drunk.
So that's in the week ahead. Any other business, Sam?
No, I think we're pretty good for the weekend then.
I think we've covered everything. We will have guests at some point though, won't we?
Yes, we will make them back. Yeah. Build it. And
well, effectively, Dave's a guest this week.
Yeah, true.
He's been gone for so long.
You haven't paid me enough, though.
Yeah, that's true. Just clarify, we don't pay him.
Just biscuits.
Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.